Welcome to
Radio.
Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. This is Mary Blake. Welcome you to our call today, and the exciting guest is Diana Navarro, and she is absolutely fascinating, and she's got so many things going on in her life and her talent that I think she probably ought to have been triplets, but anyway, welcome, Diana.
Thank you so much. That's very funny. I probably am in another universe.
There you go. And me too. You know, I'm a Cancer on the cusp of Gemini, so what do you expect?
Oh, wow. Yes, me too. That's right. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you.
So, just kind of getting right into this, you know, the whole concept of this show is that all of us came to this planet with very special gifts that the planet needs. And by the time they brainwash us and potty train us and everything, it usually gets swept aside and we forget what we came here for. And very often it takes, you know, a half a lifetime or even more for people to really reconnect, and some people never do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder, you know, you seem to have started out in a really difficult kind of situation. How'd you come out of that?
Yeah, it's just to go exactly what you were saying, I was a very, very, very sensitive child, like the one that cried at everything, about everything. It was an infant, and I didn't know why. Everybody's pain I felt. And as you said, mm-hmm. society has a way of kind of turning everything into like a bad thing or, you know, a serious bad condition. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
until much, much later that I realized that it was because I had a gift, not a curse, of an empath. I was a very intuitive empath that felt other people's pain and joy. But I was
and
more
you know,
tuned to the
when
pain.
And, you know, when you do that from a child up, you think that everybody knows how you feel. So
yes.
I used to think that people were hurting me deliberately just out of pure meanness because they knew.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they knew how I was feeling.
Right,
did
absolutely.
Did you have that kind
yeah.
of thing too?
Me too.
Yeah.
I absolutely did. I didn't understand why people didn't understand why I cried. If I saw, you know, if there was a kid crying across the room because the kid was in pain, I would start feeling the pain and getting emotional, and I
mm-hmm.
didn't understand why people didn't understand that. I'm like, well, doesn't everybody feel the pain, right? And
yeah.
you become scrutinized and penalized for that and punished. Oh, you're too sensitive. Oh, you're too this. Oh, you're too that. And you become,
yes.
you know, you have to try to cope
pretty
with
soon
that.
It's what's, instead of what's wrong with them, it's what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you start to internalize all these emotions and take it as a fault. And people express those things in different ways. Some people, you know, become overweight. Some people have autoimmune diseases. And with me,
mm-hmm.
I just, you know, would get fevers and all kinds of situations. And I guess you said, for some people, it never happens. For some people, it happens later on in their life. And for me, it happened in my 30s when I started to say, ah, okay, I see what's going on here. I
very precocious of you,
things.
My dear.
It took me a long time. And a lot of different circumstances, as you mentioned, a lot of adversity and difficulty for me to have what I call my spiritual awakening and to be able to do something with that spiritual awakening, self-healing and healing of others. And I say self-healing because, yes, I knew you hear me because if we ourselves are a mess, how can we possibly expect to help anybody else in a really
sure.
productive way? So it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
But,
you know, the only real, true, permanent healing is self-healing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter how much help you have. You still got to do it yourself.
Absolutely. In the few conversations I've had with you, they've been so enjoyable because we think alike, being a little selfish here. So I feel the same way. I feel that you are a healer yourself, and you want to help others heal, but not everybody's ready to heal. Not everybody's willing to heal. Not everybody wants to heal.
And you actually can't force them to heal.
Right. You're absolutely right. And that was really difficult for me to accept. Even before I started doing intuitive work, per se, when I was mm-hmm. just a counselor, when I was doing crisis counseling, I couldn't understand, example, when I was helping a client who was a domestic violence victim, I wouldn't understand why she kept getting herself back into the situation. She kept going back mm-hmm. to that, whether it was with the same partner or a different partner. We gave her resources, we gave her a new home, new identity, and she went back to the violent situation. She wasn't ready to be healed. She wasn't ready. And mm-hmm. you can't get angry with her because it's very easy to get angry with the person. And you also have to know your limitations. And you have to be available for those who do want the healing. And as you know from the book that I wrote very recently, mm-hmm. that's what the intention is. For people who are going through their own spiritual awakening, to know that, number one, they're not crazy. Number two, they're not alone. And number three, there are stages
to this.
That's
important.
Yes. There's so many of us going through this.
I didn't meet other healers till I was almost 50 years old.
I could just imagine how much that was for you, how difficult that was for you. Because you do feel isolated and, mm-hmm. you know, in the outskirts of society, right? You don't feel normal, whatever that word means. And
maybe I'm
emotionally
unstable.
Yes, and you know, sometimes being emotionally unstable is very honest. And as long as we find ways of coping with it and dealing with it in ways that doesn't hurt, mm-hmm. don't hurt ourselves and hurt others, you know, I welcome being abnormal. And I don't want to be, you know, like part of a crowd just kind of going through a zombie in life. I want to be awake. I want to be alert.
Yes.
And I want to be with others who are awake and alert as well. And, again, that's the reason that I decided to take all my issues, see them with a sense of humor. So I see the humor in things because things could be very funny when you look at them from a different lens, from a different perspective, and put them in a way that people can relate and say, okay, I'm not alone. Okay, I'm not crazy. And even if I am, there's help for that. And also... Right? And mm-hmm. also, they're, you know, you just don't have a spiritual awakening and boom, and everything's hunky-dory and in a rainbow. It's a process. I don't think that. Yeah, we have eternity, right? We have eternity to develop, not just this lifetime. So
absolutely.
I talk about, right? So some people kind of skip that part. And we, like you said, we are trained. Mary, you said it very succinct in the beginning. We are trained by our culture, by religions, by society, by the quote-unquote mm-hmm. powers that be, that we are very limited, that we are very, very, you know, just one little lifetime and it's over, and we're powerless.
Yes.
That's what we're trained to think, that if we see something or feel something that isn't prescribed in a textbook, that there's something wrong with us. You know, if you see, you know, if you feel something intuitive, you know, they say, don't pay attention. Listen to just logic and reason only. And logic and reason only has led us to, what, nuclear weapons, right? You know, war, disease.
And that wonderful phrase, how do you know?
Exactly. How do you know? And sometimes you just know. You just know there is a tapping that you do into this field of infinite knowledge. And I'm hoping and I'm trusting that science is starting to realize that finally, which I think it is. Physics is finally starting to see a little bit of that. And that all of us are embrace it, right? That we start embracing it because there is an awakening happening. And and people like us, right? You people like us, we express ourselves creatively. You are an artist. You're a musician. You're a singer, a writer. Mm-hmm. And this is how we express ourselves.
And
this
so
is how
are
we...
you.
Mm-hmm. We met through the music community, believe it or not, right? We met through the music community, and our mutual friend Sandy Jordan told me that you were an intuitive healer, And that was several years ago, and I did not realize how amazing you are. I just more I saw you. By the way, I'm telling everybody I am going to buy your book. I'm very, very curious, Journals of a Healer, because I'm sure that I can learn more. The more I learn, the better healer I become. So
the inspiring thing is, as you and I both know, we are taught all the have to's and all the can'ts. You
mm-hmm,
can't do
mm-hmm.
this, and you have to do that. And otherwise, you're in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the amazing thing is when God just smacks you right between the eyeballs, and there
Absolutely.
It is sitting there, and you cannot deny it, and there's no explanation for it, and you have to go on pure
mm-hmm.
trust and believe in what you see and believe in what you feel.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, it opens up a vast panorama of wonderful things that could happen and might
yes.
happen and
mm-hmm.
do happen when mm-hmm. when you go with an open heart and an open mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I you know, when people go to this experience, like you say, when you get that shock. Some people call it a spiritual
yeah.
awakening. Some people, I mean, I call it in the book, I call it the dark night of my soul, where you
yeah.
kind of just say, you know what, who am I? Who am I? I don't know what I am.
Mm-hmm.
What's my identity?
Yeah.
Right? When somebody asks you, well, what do you
I remember
do? Who are you?
Sitting and shaking and looking at my hands and saying, who are you? What do you want from my life? You know?
You had to fight with yourself.
Because when I finally realized that my hands went all by themselves. I did not
mm.
tell them where to go. They just went. And people
right,
would
right,
say,
right.
it hurts up here, and my hands would go down there, and they would say, how did you know? Well,
yes, yes. And I had that experience
with you
myself, actually.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had that experience with you myself where you felt inclined to touch a certain part of my spine, and it was exactly where one of my injuries is. And I asked you, how did you know? I'm like, oh, I should know better than to ask you that.
I know.
And it's wondrous. It's wondrous. It's wonderful. And, you know, the things that we find scary and frightening and, the ghosts under our bed and all that, we can face them with a lot more courage when we know that there's knowledge out there and there are people
yes.
like us willing to work with each other to guide us through these very dark nights of our souls. And it happens to
yep.
each of us in a very different way. Like, I'm sure it happened to you in a different way. It happened to me, you know, by everything just falling apart. You know, no job. I lost my mother. I lost my cat. I lost my profession. And it was like, uh-oh, what do I have left? And then when you lose everything,
yeah.
including the ego,
yeah.
you
mm-hmm.
find your true source.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're like, oh, there's still some
yeah.
consciousness here. What is this consciousness that I call me? And,
yeah.
I mean, I am not an expert. I am an experiencer, like many of us out there.
Well,
and,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's amazing that when we actually get to that point where nothing makes sense and yet everything is so true and so real that you
mm-hmm.
cannot deny it.
Yes,
That's where we find ourselves. And very often it's at the absolute limit of our bare ability. I mean,
yes,
I went through a cancer scare. Thank you very much.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And
mm-hmm.
Experienced a spontaneous healing, the first time I ever met other healers in my life.
Wow, that is quite a story for anybody going through any condition.
Yeah. So when you have gone through that, there's nothing that is exactly that surprising.
Mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? That you
yes.
can't accept it. You can say, oh, okay, somebody tells you about their spiritual experience and you say, uh-huh.
right, 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 right. Right. And then there's, you know, and you're like, oh, you can relate. Okay, that's great. Because, again, a lot of people are out there, and because there's so many people under the veil of that zombie thing that we've been, conditioned to be in, that when somebody does go through something, unfortunately, friends and coworkers and colleagues and family are like, oh, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Look, but I had this really strange dream, and it happened. Oh, it's just a coincidence. Oh, you know, I think I felt something strange, you know, and you know, like deja vu. Oh, stop it. You know, you're crazy. You know, there's no such thing, you know. Go to the doctor, you know. And it's like now we're having a lot more coverage on it because we have the internet and you know, social media. We have reality shows like paranormal shows now that some of them are good, some of them aren't good. But the good thing is that there's awareness. People are talking about it more. And
People are beginning to reach out
yes,
and open up.
And, absolutely. In the book, I wrote some of the things to look out for, some of the things that could be more of a situation that's related to something mentally and emotionally going on versus something paranormal, because sometimes it could be a blurred line, and sometimes it could be a combination of both. And then sometimes it's really clear that it's just something, as I said in my first chapter, very clear that I talk about experiences that I had that had nothing to do with my own intuitive ability. It was a place in San Francisco that had paranormal stuff going on that I had nothing to do with me. Like, I never experienced anything like that anywhere else. That place, up to this day, I'm convinced that apartment is haunted. And nobody ever lived there more than 6 months or a year. Because it was just such a bizarre apartment. So, and that's very different from, you know, experiencing your own intuitive ability, right? Having precognition, right?
Sure.
Having, you know, these wonderful lucid dreams where you can manifest anything you want in your dreams, and you realize there are other dimensions out there, and that we do soul travel. So it's good to just at least be self-educated about it. And since some of us don't have the time or the energy, people like you and I write about it. We write about it, and we say, listen, you know, here, see if you can relate to this. You know, share your own experience if you wish. You know, this is why we have our websites and our shows, and they can call in, and they can share their own experience and say, oh, what a relief. You know, I went to the doctor. They said I was, you know, healthy, and but yet, you know, I kept, you know, I knew my friend was going to call every time, and 5 minutes later he or she called, and I was just like, I was beside myself. Whatever it is, because, like, again, for each of us, it's different things. For somebody, it could be they smell things, right? We might have intuitive abilities present themselves depending on our prominent sense, right? Like, if you're visual, you can see things. If you're auditory, you can hear things. For some of us, it's a combination of a few things. For us, it's our gut. I'm very gut feeling. Like, I feel my things in my stomach.
Clairgustians.
Yes, exactly. And if I feel somebody... If I'm doing, like, a session for somebody, whether it's intuitive or a regular, like, a social media session or something, and I start feeling a little funny about the person I'm with, then I can tell something's going on with that person, and I have to do some cleansing when I go home with some sea salt or sage.
Well,
right?
Now,
right?
we have to get together on that because one of the things that I do is I teach people how to use what I call a psychic... a security blanket that will literally keep out all of those negative vibes.
Yes, absolutely. Because they're everywhere.
That's really important.
Oh, yeah. Really important. I mean, so many people are sick because they're carrying those vibes around. They pick them up. And they're sick, and that is not even their sickness. It's something they picked up in the pharmacy or in the grocery store. Somebody was standing next to them and deposited a little bit of dark energy on them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I have friends who say,
no question about it.
You know, they're like, oh, I was talking to my friend, and after I finished talking to her, I felt so sick. And it happens every time I talk to that person. And that person could be a psychic vampire, whether they know it or not, right? Because some people don't know they are, but some people know they are, right? And you like
well,
that.
Some people deliberately go for it, and other people do it unconsciously. That's the difference.
Right, exactly. Very well put, because, and we have to know, and we should have grow to learn discernment and know the difference between somebody that we should avoid on a regular basis and someone, you know, who's just, you know, doesn't realize what they're doing, and maybe they should be educated, or, you know, like you said, creating that balance, that blanket to protect oneself. And
absolutely.
And that, yeah, that sounds wonderful. I'm very, very excited about learning more about that with you, because I have some techniques that I've learned, but there's never enough to learn. I want to learn more. I'm getting a PhD in life.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, yeah, right. When I first came to New York, I mean, I came from the Midwest by way of California. But I would get onto a subway, and I had an hour ride to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel a pain in my hip. I would feel a pain in my neck. I would feel a headache. I would feel rage. I would feel anger. I would feel jealousy. I would feel despondency. I would feel all of these things. And by the time I got to work, I was ready to check into a mental institution.
Right,
you know?
Right, absolutely.
I had to learn to protect myself. So I would bury myself in a book at first before I became aware that I was of the gifts that God had given me,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I was just at everybody's mercy,
mm.
And then once I had that healing and committed myself the rest of my life to being an instrument of divine purpose,
mm-hmm.
then I had to pray and meditate. Please teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And as a channel, I channeled this for somebody else, and they gave it back to me. It was an intellect ping pong kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So sometimes the things that you give other people are also meant for you.
Yeah, yes, that's true. And, again, it could take decades for you to realize that, you know, oh, so that's why I met that person.
Right.
And it's so fascinating once we just open up our minds a little bit more and allow, you know, us to question and say, you know, instead of the can't and the shouldn't, right? Maybe I should. Maybe I should ask more questions. And, again, one of the things that, you know, because there is so much bad news out there, right? All you have to do is put on the news for a few minutes. And there's some bombardment of negativity. We have to have a counterbalance, you know, something to kind of put us back to center, to ground us. And, you know, I think that humor is one way, you know, nature is another. If we can find a way of getting to nature, you know, we happen to be in New York City, you and I, and so that's not always easy, but there are places and things to do here, of course, parks and lakes and stuff that we can find. So I found a way of, since I'm a little quirky anyway, to, you know, kind of make fun of things in a good way, in a healthy way. And that's how my baby, my latest baby, came out, which is the Rootin' It Sucks project.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good. I like that. You know,
because people are like,
and there's always music and there's art.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, you have to feed your soul. You have to feed the hunger inside your spirit.
Yes, and sometimes we stop ourselves thinking, well, I'm not good enough. Who cares? Do it anyway. I mean, there are places that are so permissive. I mean, I'm not going to be a ballet dancer because I'm not interested in that. But you know, it wouldn't stop me from taking a class. It wouldn't, you know, if I really loved it.
Sure, if you felt like it.
Yeah, if I felt like it, I would. And I think it's true for anything. Any you know, if you want to, you know, learn how to draw, if you want to know, you know, anything that you want to do, there are ways of doing it that you know you can take baby steps, right? You don't have to jump out there and being Dancing with the Stars or anything like that, you know, if you're not ready for that.
And things online now, you know,
mm-hmm.
before, if you lived in a small town, you had to wait maybe two or three or four times a year when a troupe came through to be able to really, really enjoy some top-class entertainment. But here on the web, I mean, look at YouTube. I mean, we used to go crazy trying to. I forgot the first line of that song, and now we can go straight on the internet and find it. Just bing. And
right, it's magic.
Wonderful because because
yes.
the internet is almost keeping up with our spiritual awareness and our spiritual awakening.
Right. I think this was an instrument for us to use. I think it's amazing, and I'm very grateful for it. You know, like you said, if you have a question about something, you know, what causes nightmares? Google it, right? You know?
Uh-huh.
And you can, you know, of course, there's stuff you have to, again, have discernment. Know and read things carefully. Don't believe everything you read and see. You know, with a little gentle caution. Just so people, you know, sometimes people put stuff out there on the internet that isn't true and propaganda, right?
Always.
So people have their own, mm-hmm. yeah, their own motives. And you got to be aware of that. That's the only thing that I would say. But other than that, I think it's a wonderful thing, especially for musicians and artists and, you know, writers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it. And, like, as I said earlier, you and I have the pleasure of being part of the music community. I was
mm-hmm.
welcomed into it. I mean, I sang as a child in New York City, but it was bilingual songs in churches. It wasn't until much later, uh-huh. after my spiritual awakening, that I said, I'm going to sing. Gosh darn it. And I don't care what happens. And I met Sandy Jordan and other musicians.
And sing you do. And you sing
you
do. You have such a wonderful spirit that comes through with your singing. Sometimes it's a little impish. Sometimes it's very, very romantic. Sometimes it's just fun. You know.
Yeah, playful, right. Depending on where we are and right and the crowd that we're in. And that's again
mm-hmm.
that's my empath abilities. I'm so grateful for them. I'm so grateful for them instead of being upset at them, because I can connect with whoever's there. If they're feeling they want to hear a love song, I connect
mm-hmm.
with that love song. And you know how many beautiful songs are written, how many beautiful standards are out there, right?
Yeah.
And,
really?
You know, somebody, I could imagine somebody's thinking about an old love of theirs, right? And you can
mm-hmm.
sing something from Nat King Cole and, you know, and connect with them that way. I've had many people tell me, oh, I cried during your song. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, it's a good thing. It made me happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's when you know you connect with somebody at the spiritual level.
Oh, when you're singing, and I mean, you just reach in and pull your guts out and say, here.
Yes.
Can
yes.
you get it? And
mm-hmm,
then when you
mm-hmm.
see that light in somebody's eyes, it's like,
magic.
It's so
magic.
Good.
It's yes,
so
it's,
good.
It's wonderful. And everything else, like the thing, the fear, the nervousness, everybody that knows me knows I always get nervous before I go, always, no matter how. Even if it's just the same friends of ours, I still get nervous because I care. You know, I care about,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
about everything. But once you're up there and it comes out, you're like, it's expression. And whoever is out there and want to express themselves in any way, like whether it's singing or, you know, sketching or, you know, pottery or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
try it.
And it's
try
the same
it,
way
try
with,
it.
With healing, with
mm-hmm.
with healing and with channeling. I'm sure you do some channeling too.
Yes, not as much as I could, and it's something you and I should talk about, just because
mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit concerned because I'm an empath, and I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that I can do this in a way that's safe for me, you know?
I made a deal with God.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
Where this is going.
when I committed my life to being an instrument of divine purpose, I said, look, I know a lot of people who cozy up to people's egos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. I refuse
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I refuse to put people into a situation where they're being made fun of they, where they mm-hmm. feel they feel less than powerful in them,
mm-hmm.
their own selves. I will not do anything that will make a person feel that I'm putting them down, or that there's something wrong with them, or there's something like that. And mm-hmm. then on top of that, I only will work with the highest, most loving, caring spiritual beings who are capable and willing to mm-hmm. to help us on this planet to do what we came here to do.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's my deal. That was my deal with God.
It's beautiful, and that's exactly what I say before I do a reading. I said, if anything's going to come through, let it be of God. Let it be the highest light and love energy. Nothing else is permitted mm-hmm. to go through. I'm not mm-hmm. interested in channeling dead people. This is not my thing. I mean, there are wonderful people that do that, you know. And uh-huh. I have definitely had experiences with loved ones of people, very, very mm-hmm. clear experiences where a message needed to come through. And those messages yeah. came through beautifully. So as long as it's for the highest and the greatest good of all, yeah, I agree with you. There's an opening there.
That was another thing. I refuse to talk to dead relatives unless they really, really want to communicate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And if they really, truly want to get a message through, sometimes they will talk to my spirit guide, and she'll mm-hmm. tell me so and so wanted them to know. But I had a reading once with a Russian gentleman who did talk to dead relatives. And mm-hmm, he says, is there anybody you'd like to talk to? I said, I'd love to talk with my father. He died when I was 13, you know, and I just absolutely
wow.
worshipped him.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, there's a tall blonde guy here with glasses. I said, that's not my father.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. He said that your father sent the message that he's studying now, right now. He's very busy and can't talk. I
mm-hmm.
said, that's my dad.
Wow.
That's my
yes.
dad.
So he came through regardless. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So that I knew it had to be him, because
mm-hmm.
who else would say it?
Exactly. Say that. You knew him, and he knew that you would recognize that it would be from him. Right?
Oh, good. So, my dad was an Aries, and when he was doing something, he was laser concentrated. Don't bother
mm.
me. Don't make any noise. Leave me alone.
Oh,
you know?
Right. So that's him, right? That was absolutely him. And it's so interesting and fascinating how the nuances, you know, come through, and you get to know, you know, what is what. And I surrender, you know, my that crazy brain, that monkey brain of mine, you know, trying the one that wants to be academic
your
about
ego.
Everything.
Right.
Ego. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Like, you know what? Ego has no room here because it's going to interfere. It's going to interfere with everything I'm doing. Exactly.
Fine.
Right. And
yeah.
And let the truth come out. And the truth is all I care mm-hmm. about. And in a loving way, in a beautiful, healing way. Because sometimes, you know, people need to know things they're not, like you said, may or may not be ready to hear and accept. But in order for us to grow, we have to, you know, hear and open ourselves up. So everything that I do is about that, every day, whatever it is, even if it's just giving a smile to somebody that
mm-hmm.
I think needs it, that I feel in my heart, you know, this person looks like they haven't gotten one recognition today from anyone, and I don't need anything in return. I just want to do it because my heart
mm-hmm.
tells me to do it. And those are the things that make me happy, you know. I guess it's selfish happiness. I don't know what to call it, but it makes me happy.
Those are the things that are worth living for. When
mm-hmm.
when somebody lets you know that you gave them something special that they didn't even expect, maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's
a beautiful
thing. Oh, yeah.
And God knows I have absolutely been a recipient of that. I'm so grateful to everyone, whether they know, hear this ever, broadcast ever or not. I send it out to the universe, a big thank you, including to you, to everybody who's ever given me anything that I love and appreciate, because, you know, this is I'm here to experience that in this incarnation. right? And this is what I'm here to do. And I've gotten so many wonderful gifts, and so I'm grateful for them. And I, and again, give and take, give and take. It took me a long time to learn how to accept stuff. You know, I was always like, oh, you know, I was trained. No, you know, don't take candy, you know, from strangers or anybody else. But it was like, you know, a confusion.
And as you grow older, candy it becomes other things.
Yes, exactly.
It's
whatever
a symbol.
That is.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It's a symbol, and it's substituted by other things, and it's almost you, at least for me, it was for me, I didn't know how to accept gifts for me. I always felt like I didn't deserve it. I'm not good enough. You know, no, no, no. And it wasn't until very, very recently where, you know, people would tell me, you deserve this. Take it. Say yes for once in your life. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try. And I'm like, no, don't try. Take it. And I realized from my own guides and my own spiritual awakening that I wasn't doing anybody any good by rejecting gifts to me, because how could I give if I don't receive? It's an imbalance of energy. Right?
Like, well, you know what? You know, I was given something that was totally amazing to me, and it was so pure and so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I would love to share it with you right now.
Sure.
What I was given was, we givers, we love to give, and yet many times we prevent other people from having the joy of giving to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I thought that was so profound.
Absolutely it is. Right, and you're doing an injustice to them and to yourself.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And it really,
you're preventing
it's so
them
true.
From you're preventing mm-hmm. them to have from having the joy that you get from giving.
Yes.
They deserve
that
to have
so
it
true.
Too.
So true. And it just makes sense. It makes perfect sense. You know, once you're ready to hear it, right? So it was like three decades. So
yeah.
I finally...
So that you,
and
don't,
I figured,
feel, you don't feel guilty to
yes,
receive.
That, yeah, guilty is such a useless emotion. Because I was telling somebody the other day, the people that feel guilty are the ones that shouldn't feel guilty. The people that should feel guilty are the ones doing all kinds of things that, you know... With no consciousness, you know? So, if you're feeling guilty all the time.
There. Yeah.
So, and, which is another reason why I wrote the Rudeness book, which is, you know, has three parts to it. It's on my other site, which is rudenesssucks.com. That's all
mm-hmm.
about manners and a funny way of talking about manners and, you know, rudeness. And I talk about, you know, the same way, you know? It's about creating awareness, like, do to others what you would like them doing to you. I mean, simple mm-hmm. things that people forget, no matter what generation they're in. And somebody told me the other day, and I'm not sure if this is true. I got to do some research. They said that the millennials, you know, that generation now really needs
uh-huh.
the manners training, like, really, really, really.
Boy,
like,
do they ever.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right. And it was a medium who told me this. It was a psychic medium who told me this. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I totally respect. And she told me, yeah, this is going to be good for them. And
mm-hmm.
I have to agree. I would love to get some numbers, but, you know, it's really hard to say, well, how many people didn't say thank you? Or how many people,
yeah.
you know, but are walking with their cell phone and right in front of you, and, like, you triple over them because they're so into their own little world in a public place.
And they look at you like you did something wrong.
Exactly, and that's the irony of it all. And this is where my book is, it's kind of a humorous thing, and it's like, it's all no, you didn't. And
mm-hmm.
I even created a scale, a funny scale from 1 to 5 called the Dumbology Scale of dumb things we do. And
right.
I tell people, listen,
uh-huh.
I'm a psychic, but I don't see dead people. I see dumb people doing rude things. So, and people
uh-huh.
get it. They're like, yeah, you're right, you know. Don't skip the line, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a way, my way of giving, my way of creating awareness. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the book is going to be one way. But I also, you know, think it should be done sort of in a show. So, like, people like to see things visually. You know, we're very visual human beings, or, you know, auditory,
oh,
whatever.
Sure.
Sensory.
Oh,
you
yeah.
always have to be sight. Sometimes they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes
mm-hmm.
people would appreciate seeing examples of things and say, oh, my God, I can relate to that. That happened to me the other day in the pharmacy. Oh, my gosh. And they're like, yeah, how funny. So is a twofold thing. It's for people who can relate to being, you know, put upon by rude people, but it's also for rude people to say, oh, jeez, I did that. Uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore,
yeah.
Right? Because it would be
right.
nice, right, to have that awakening and say, oh, wow,
yeah.
I didn't realize that me bringing fish at lunch bothers my coworkers. Right? Things that you don't think because you're, you know, thinking about yourself. So that's a way
mm-hmm.
for me to use my empathy, my empath abilities, right, and say, listen, I
yeah.
can relate.
You know,
so,
there's something else about you that I really want to tell you that I admire. The fact that you actually went out and got credentials. And it's fascinating that many, many people who are psychic and who are intuitive are not believed because they don't have credentials.
I've got
a wall of them, and they're only up there to prove to people that need the proof that I can do what I could do without them.
Absolutely. Yes. That is such a good
point.
But again,
some of the methodology that you have learned, I mean, you have a master's degree. This
yes,
is fabulous.
And I spent 3 years in a doctorate program. I didn't complete it, which is another funny thing. People always say, well, why didn't you just finish it? And I said, because I'm an artist. I'm a creative. I was not meant for academia. This was 15 years ago or 20 years ago now.
Yeah,
I don't regret it. I don't regret it. I'm really happy with what I learned.
No, because you have the discipline and
mm-hmm.
you have the qualities and you have When you need to prove to somebody who's a skeptic,
mm-hmm.
who is in total denial,
right,
you can lean on those credentials and say, I know because. A
yes,
lot of people
exactly.
need a because.
Yes, they do. They do. They need numbers. They need statistics. They need that
mm-hmm.
left brain stimulated in order for them to allow their right brain to work. The right hemisphere,
yeah.
and it's true. And once you speak their language, then they're more apt to hear you a little bit more. And then they're a
right.
little bit more open. And that's what
mm-hmm.
we want. We want open minds and open hearts, like you said earlier. This is so we can, you know, have the ability, you know, and I tell them, you know, I'm not a cynic. You know, I just don't take anything for granted. I want to know, okay, where is this coming from? You know, maybe this person
mm-hmm.
sees a pink
mm-hmm.
elephant, and there isn't a pink elephant in the room, after all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there could be a mental illness, and this person can benefit from a professional that can deal with that specifically. Either
and
way,
then
they're there to help the person.
That pink elephant could be a symbol that somebody's
right,
trying
exactly.
to...
And you have to know the difference. And you can't
yeah.
put that into numbers. You can't put that into
no.
words. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's a knowing. And
yes.
and I'm happy with that. I'm satisfied with that. Finally, you know, I'm saying it just is. Some things just are. Flowers are just beautiful. Like, I can't tell you why, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Flowers are just beautiful. The sun just comes up.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Every day it comes up. I don't know why. And sometimes you just have to accept things are what they are. So, yeah.
Yes.
And I was, you know, very fortunate to meet a few other intuitive people, which I'm sure you have too, professionals, like psychic medium Mark Anthony, who's a lawyer, who's an attorney, a defense attorney. And
uh-huh.
he's another person that is like us, is extremely sensitive,
yeah.
but also can talk to somebody their language if they want to be super skeptic. He can come from
mm-hmm.
that perspective. And also from
mm-hmm.
the perspective of being made fun of, right? You know, being made fun
oh,
of
oh,
or
yeah.
mocked. My colleagues
yes.
and other people, when they were like, oh, right, you see ghosts, ooh, boogie, boogie, you know? And
yeah.
you're like, well, there's one next to you right now, and he thinks you're stupid.
Yeah.
And then they'll shut up really quickly, you know? And
uh-huh.
that's a way, again, of using a sense of humor and at the same time educating people.
Yeah.
So yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree, and you know, it's so funny because I never thought that I would do this intuitive work. Never. When I went to school to be
you
a regular
both.
Person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, right. Right. It was like, oh, I didn't plan to do this. Oh, where'd that come from? I don't know, I thought it was going to be some, you know, some therapist in an office. When I think about that, I might shake. I don't think I can do that.
I know. But, you want to be want to be locked up in a little cage.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely not, right? But I thought I did. And
because that's what they hold out for us. Say, you know, you've got to do that. That's one of your goddess, you know.
Yeah. That's what you have to do. This is the only way you're going to be able to share what information you have, whatever it is. And so I think that, you know, again, with anybody, no matter what generation they're in, I think we can all benefit from never stopping to learn. Right, you know, just keep reading, keep learning. I'm always putting stuff out on social media. I hope that, you know, people are benefiting from it. It could be something about intuition or something spiritual, or it could be something about learning a new skill, a new computer skill that somebody might benefit from. I think that our brains are in need of learning more. I think that's what will help us stay young, young at heart.
And on top of that, when you are given gifts, I have finally come to the conclusion that we are responsible because we have been given so much, and it's important to train ourselves to practice and to work and to make us ourselves the best instrument possible.
Oh, that is again what you said earlier, you know, I sing. When I started singing, you know, it was 30-something years, 34, 35, somebody told me, I forgot who it was, and they were like, well, I think it's wrong that we don't get to hear you sing. And I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way. I just thought, you know, I'm going to forget the lyrics.
Don't cheat
it. Yeah, I'm going to forget the lyrics. I don't want anybody to think I'm a diva. I don't want anybody to think I'm a show-off. I was so worried about people thinking that I'm a show-off, which I'm not. I don't even know what a show-off is.
And the funniest thing, it just bubbles out of you so naturally that nobody can ever think that you're doing it on purpose. You know, it's just that energy that's flowing through you, and it's like how are you going to stop a stream from just bubbling and gurgling and, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what, Mary, I think that's what got me sick before I had my spiritual awakening.
Okay.
I think that holding everything in, not expressing myself creatively and spiritually, I think that that's how I developed, you know, arthritis so early in my 30s and fibromyalgia and a heart condition in my 30s. You know, I'm 40, in my mid-40s now, but at that time, the doctors were like, well, what's wrong with you? You're so young. Like, why do you have all this stuff? Like, you know, I didn't know the answer at the time. And again, when I started becoming more attuned and more awake and say, oh, because I was holding, where is it going to go? It's just going to kind of fester in there. It's going to, right?
You were holding it all in. Where is it going to, and pretty soon you explode.
Yes.
And
yes.
A lot of people who are gifted and never find out about it wind up in a mental institution in a psych ward.
Oh, so sad, so unfortunate, and unfortunately
the waste of
life and creativity.
And the mental institution needs it so badly.
We do need it.
You know?
That's the kind of healing we need. And unfortunately, the medical institutions are not quite there to be able to understand that aspect of it. It's all medication. It's all just stifling and controlling.
Yeah.
And instead of addressing the issue. And it's, like you said, a waste of sadness, of life that could have been giving us, again, music, sound, you know, art, you know, food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be a food person, a chef, and an artist. So many different ways that we have to enjoy life.
It's food for the soul. It is literally
food
for the soul.
Yes. So we have to
hear
ourselves.
What is the thing that makes you feel most alive?
It's there are no words. I wish I could articulate it in a word. It's like an energy, a spirit. I feel maybe just gratitude. Like, I'm here. Oh, thank you. Instead of I'm here, which I used to think, oh, God, another day. I'm like, I'm here. I have bad days where I'm in a lot of pain, but I'm still here. And just I'm very curious about things. Like, I'm very nosy. What could I learn today? What could I discover? And it could be something really, really silly, like a little trick I can use, like on a, you know, on an email message or on a, like a, I love social media. I'm fascinated by social media. I love to give people consultations on social media. So because it is so, like you said earlier, it's like the internet, it's reaching almost like a spiritual level. So I'm very curious as to what people react to, what they don't react to, what goes, something goes viral, the language we use. So to be, I'm very curious. So to satisfy my curiosity, I guess, makes me feel alive and to share it. To share it with people. Yeah, they're like, oh, you know what I learned? And I'll share it, whether it's on a blog or, you know, whatever, or verbally. And they're like, oh, I never knew that. It's kind of something fun. I love to play. Mary, that's, okay, I found the word. To make life as playful and joyful as possible. I don't care. I'll never forget The Twilight Zone. For anybody who's watched The Twilight Zone, it's one of my favorite shows. I have them recorded, the 1950s show. I'll never forget the episode of the people, the older people in the senior center, how one of them insisted that everybody plays. Let's play kick, you know, kick the bottle. And
oh,
they all
remember
the children.
One.
Mm-hmm. To me, out of, and I love Star, Twilight Zone. I think to me that was the most, the one I related to the most. I felt like this is what keeps you young, laughing and playing, and it takes you to different lifelines. And so I think to me what makes
and you
feel alive
really
is playing.
Alive, really alive.
And I'm grateful because I almost didn't make it. I didn't think I was going to make it when I had my dark night of my soul. I felt like I was isolated for 3 years without talking to anyone except immediate family and doctors. I didn't go out without being accompanied by a family member to the doctor or to the supermarket.
Oh,
I mean, that's what the breakdown did to me. It's hard for people to believe that I was isolated, because I'm sort of chattermouth when I'm with people.
You're just a wide open channel of joy to me,
And I love sharing that. That makes me so happy to make people laugh and smile and tickle the little funny bone wherever it is, you know, not literally. I always touch people. But and that means, you know, my animals, my two cats, you know, I love animals, and I think they have been very instrumental in reminding me to play, and that innocence that they have, and that forgiveness that they have. They're just patience. So they always remind me to play, you know, that excess energy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
so
I hear you.
If people can learn how to play again, and they play something, you know, for each person is a different thing, right? We don't know. Everybody has a different idea of what playing is. Some people think that watching sports is playing. I'm not too sure that really is what I'm talking about. Like, watching sports kind of puts you in a trance, so I don't think that's what I'm talking about. Now, if you want to do a sport and you want to go out there and do it, that's different. You know what I mean?
But sure.
Each
absolutely.
Has to,
yeah.
So to me, like, when I hear you sing, and I hear you sing, you know, Summertime, to me, that's us playing. like, you know, because I'm listening to you, and depending on the delivery you have on this time, and then I'm like, oh, that's so funny, you did it this time very sultry, and the last time you did it very funny, and you know, to me that's playing because I never know what to expect, and I find that to be one of the things that feed my soul, like you said, that feeds my spirit, and whenever I feel any pain, physical pain, which is a lot, I always find something to tickle me, which is to sing. That makes me cope a lot better. So anybody that has chronic pain out there, there are ways of dealing with it. You know, there until we heal. Like, I think there's always a way to heal, but as we heal, right, we don't have to take medication all the time. We can just take laughication.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Sure. I think that laughter is one of the best healers of any pain. And the first Oh No You Didn't book is called Heartache, Heartbreak, How Do You Fix It Fast? And it's kind of taking a funny spin on heartbreak. There's a serious aspect to it, of course. There's a very serious aspect. But then at the end of the book, I tell people, now we laugh. And now we laugh. Now we end this by, you know, tickling ourselves and say, oh, my God, I'm never going to do that on a date again. Because laughter releases these natural chemicals in our brain and all over our system. These chemicals are endorphins and all these other hormones that we forgot to release because we're too busy releasing stress hormones all the time. Right? Those are the ones that got us down and all messed up. And these hormones that really need to come out that we forgot to use because they told us, oh, you're a grown-up now. You can't play anymore. Right? They tell us that when we're 13 or a teenager. Right? They tell us, act like an adult. You know? I went, like, I think that's such a disservice they're doing to our society by saying that. So I say, act like an adult. Let's play kick the bottle. You know? Because I think that there are times life gives us enough stressful, you know, situations. You know, there's a time to handle things in a serious way. We know this. I mean, this is common sense. And then there's a time where levity is necessary, and that will kind of enhance the situation and help us heal faster and help us the healing process, you know, just move it along, right, instead of getting stagnant there. So it's a physical reason, and there's an emotional reason, and then there's a spiritual reason to laugh. And no matter what it is, I'll watch silly YouTube videos like bloopers. I don't care. Like you said, YouTube is wonderful. I love watching animal bloopers and people bloopers, and my favorite are reporter bloopers, you know, because as you know, when you're on radio, things happen and you have to laugh. So
I have a friend with a genius IQ who loves My Little Pony.
I think.
And I said, what do you find in it? She said, well, you know, it's wonderful. It teaches people how to live. It teaches people manners. It teaches people how to appreciate and respect each other. And I say, go for it, you know.
Yes, absolutely. So many wonderful things that we can use for good. And there's some the more there that meets the eye, more than it meets, you know. And I think if we can just put that spotlight on that thing and tell people, look, there's more to this. Just, you know, it's not only just funny, but like you said, it teaches you manners, too. Two for one. Yes, and I think that when something does happen that is disappointing and painful and traumatic, we can go back to those moments and to those friends that can remind us of those moments where things are funny and silly and things, this too shall pass and get you through the difficult time because, you know, bad things are going to happen, but good things are going to happen, too. So balance.
So what
balance,
about gratitude?
I mean, I can't even. To me, life begins, life ends with gratitude, and everything in between is with gratitude. Not phony gratitude. I mean, I'm talking about thank you. I am. I mean, I don't want to be an exaggerator. I'm not an actress. You know, I feel that, and it comes to my mother. You know, I know a little bit. My mom always just said no. She was just so loving that she just taught me gratitude. I'm grateful, you know, for things, and it's practice. It's not always easy to be grateful, especially when something doesn't seem pleasant in the beginning, right? Oh, I'm grateful for this breakup. Oh, I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
But then
you can be grateful for what you learned.
Exactly. So then you start thinking, wait a minute, I learned what to accept in a relationship, what not to accept in a relationship. That is something to be grateful for. The next time I find a partner, I know that I won't, you know, this is what I like and this is what I don't like and this is what I'll accept. So then you do have find things to be grateful for, even if they seem negative initially. So I
and
think
the very least thing you can do is to learn not to do that again.
Yeah, exactly. Don't repeat the same mistakes. That's definitely in my book. Learn, people, learn. And be grateful for the food you eat. When you bless your food, you can digest it so much better. I learned that the hard way. Bless it, no matter what it is. Thank you for the hands that prepared this, for everything that went into it from beginning to end. And to me, I don't think there's a better miracle out there than just being grateful for what you eat and what you drink and water and air and the breath we take. You know, we take things for granted sometimes, right? And to remember and say, I'm grateful for this conscious breath I'm taking right now. My lungs are working right now. How awesome is that? Because I know there are people out there that don't have that, and I send them healing. I send them healing.
Right.
I hope they're champion.
Right.
So
yes.
That's my take on gratitude. That's how I feel.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, I agree that we need to, even a smile sometimes is a gift, is a tremendous gift to someone who feels alone.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. A genuine thank you. Thank you. Just show them with that emotion. Thank you. It makes a difference. I can't tell you the looks I get sometimes, like from a register person or anywhere. Like, and they're like, oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, wow, that person meant it. And I do. And then I just thank God.
Yeah, and somebody holds the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you hate the people that almost knock you down getting past you?
Yes, that happens a lot to me. That inspired a whole chapter in my book. It was like, okay, there's somebody behind you. Thank you so much. But just saying thank you and then moving on, and to the next. So many wonderful things for us. And I said, just as long as we keep learning, I think we're in good shape. You know?
Yeah, well, speaking of keeping running, we're sort of at the vaguely end of the hour here, and I don't know I really think it's important for me to ask you if the listeners were right in front of you, what would you tell them? What would you really, really want them to know?
I would want them to know that they're never alone, which I would say on my own broadcast. No matter how much pain, loneliness, separation you feel from all that is, you are never really truly alone. There is this powerful, all-encompassing energy called love. All you have to do is welcome it, and it's there, and it is the most powerful force in the universe of universes. That's what I would say, and that's what I am saying.
And it can't knock you down and overpower you and force you to feel it.
Yeah,
you have to
be let it
open
in.
And willing.
Let it in when you're ready, and it's there forever, for eternity, bliss and love. And this is incarnation, this life is just one little bit of it. There's much more to come.
I agree. And that makes a huge difference. I don't know. Somebody is nudging me and asking me to ask you about something really funny that happened in the middle of a counseling with you. Something that just cracked you both up. You would sit there and just laugh, look at each other and laugh.
Oh, wow. That's been so many different experiences. You know, Mary, when you've talked to so many different people, I mean, I've had doozies, where like tables have shaken, right? I was doing a reading for someone once, and she's pretty intuitive herself, has powerful energy, and she was saying that she keeps feeling things kind of just like fall and spill. All of a sudden, her hand uncontrollably, she had a glass of water in her hand. It uncontrollably jerked, and she spilled water all over her face. And she's like, oh, my God, what just happened? And it was like, it was the funniest thing, because I was like saying, well, somebody's trying to get your attention. So maybe that's why things keep spilling and falling. And as soon as I said that, boom, her hand jerked, and it spilled water all over her face. I mean, that's just one of the things. And it was like, oh, my God. We were like, oh, my God. We got the tissue and the paper. We were like, oh, my God. And they're like, yeah, I think you better pay attention. but so many funny things happen during meetings. I would say 98% have been the most wonderful experiences of my life. And then 2% have been or people didn't want to accept, you know, what I was saying. And in all fairness, I have to say that I have to acknowledge it. There was a time where a woman wanted a reading. I gave her a reading, and I told her I used a tarot card, and I use it with all the light energy and love energy I can, you know, come up with my heart. And I got a card that was, I knew was not a pleasant meaning in the context that it was in. And it was a tower. And I said, something is happening, finishing pretty abruptly. And I think you should prepare yourself because it's pretty dramatic. And, you know, this is, you know, an advanced warning, so you be prepared. And she's like, okay, whatever. The next time I saw her, she goes, you know, you got me fired from my job.
Oh, no.
And I was like, yes. And I was like, what? Excuse me? I what do you mean? I don't understand. You told me that the tower came out and that I better get ready, and I got fired from my TV job. I'm like, well, I don't understand how that's me getting you fired. I'm not your boss. I don't know where you worked. I was trying to explain to her that I'm just a messenger. You know, don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. And, you know, if you would have heard the message, you would have been prepared for it. And, and that's the kind of thing where you were like, ooh, okay, lesson learned. Not everybody can, you know, accept what you're telling them in a positive way. And,
that's that partnership thing. If they're not ready to hear it, you know, you might as well beat your forehead against a concrete wall.
Absolutely. And, you know, it took me a while for me to say, you know, Diana, get over it. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, this person wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And then the other time, it was the second time that happened, I told the person told someone else, you know, oh, this person was wrong. She was absolutely wrong. I kept seeing an affair. And it turned out the person was having an affair, and it was in denial about it, didn't want to admit it, and told me I was wrong. And I was like, listen, it's okay. I said, maybe I'm misinterpreting it. I said, I just see, you know, a betrayal. And then I told her what the context it was in. And the person was like, no. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I was right. Because you have to understand that, you know, and I know you do in the audience, this isn't science. Like, we have numbers. This is, like, you really want to make sure that you're giving the information as accurately as possible within the confines of this mysterious thing we call spirituality. You know, it's mysterious for many of us. So, you know, validation is very important for a lot of us, you know, to have validation, okay, is to be on the right track. It doesn't mean that we're fishing. It doesn't mean anything. You don't have to answer anything. But to tell me that I'm completely wrong, or tell the healer that person's completely wrong, you're also misguiding the session. And it could be very confusing because you know what you see. They call it sometimes amnesia, right, psychic amnesia. And you know what you're feeling, and you know what message you're getting. And yet the client is telling you no. And, and then you have to trust. You got to go to that gut and say, I know I'm right because I'm getting it from the spirit, and the spirit doesn't lie to me. And this person, in that sense, that let it be. You know, don't argue. That's another thing. And I'm supposed to be, not supposed to be funny, but you laugh at it after a while. You're like, okay, not everybody wants a reading or is ready for a reading for a session. But hopefully with time, you know, with the right time, they'll accept it and digest it. And that's all you can hope for.
My first healing class, which I backed into kicking and screaming and saying, I'm not ready.
Right, I could imagine, yes.
Well, this woman, we worked on somebody, and this is in Journalism Healer, but we worked on someone who was a fellow healer who had a broken ankle, and it was wonderful to be able to introduce these people who had never been exposed to healing before to someone who was used to the energy and could use it, you know. Yeah. And so the woman whose apartment we were using said, well, I deserve a healing because you're using my apartment. So I said, fine. So I went over to her, put my hands on her crown chakra and the third eye, and suddenly her head jerked sideways, and she said, what was that? I said, well,
looks like you got on the wrong side of the guillotine.
Wow.
Well, within 5 minutes, she had us out of that apartment.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Why should this happen to me? It was so, everything was fine with that other woman. Why should this happen to me? And my roommate is coming. We got to go. So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, these people have never been exposed to healing before. Maybe this is my first and last class, you know.
Right, right. Oh, my gosh.
And the funniest thing was that one of the illustrations that I used in the class was, you cannot pour anything into an upside down glass. And as we walked down the steps, one of the students looked at me and said, "An upside down glass."
Validation right there. Not ready.
What's
gonna pour? Is gonna go
ever.
Wow.
So we had to find a new place for the class, but it reinforced something that just came out of me spontaneously. And sometimes spirit can anticipate in advance something that's going to happen and gives you ammunition, and you don't even know it.
That's true. Yes, yes. And it's so wonderful when the pieces come together. It's just because it's so beautiful. It's not something a human being can just do with their logic. Like, we would totally mess it up, you know? It's so beautifully perfect. Yeah, just timing and elegant.
And you can't think it through because you'll mess it up.
Exactly. You're using the wrong side of the brain.
Yeah.
Or half of the brain.
Exactly. Exactly. The left-sided brain is really, really good at putting together a presentation and getting the pieces of paper together, or getting the slideshow taken care of, or whatever. But you know, it's that right side of the brain that is there and open, and the pure receptacle for this for spiritual energy. And it's all energy. It's nothing but energy.
Yes. And, you know, when they say that we use, you know, 10% of our brain, you know, on a regular basis, so we have all this other brain, you know, out there, up here, that is being untapped because we were not using our spiritual ability. And they're finding now that people that meditate regularly and have spiritual experiences, the brain starts lighting up in ways that are not familiar in the regular thinking, everyday thinking.
Yeah.
And so now researchers are very excited. Now, this is when science, like, starts scratching its head and says, maybe there's something to the spirituality.
Yeah,
we've been telling you that for thousands of years.
Sometimes you just almost have to knock somebody off the cliff in order to get to them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it takes a lot of kicks sometimes,
It's
interesting. Because you can do a show just on all those funny experiences you have with people, all walks of life, you know, all kinds of individuals from all over the world, and the funny things that happen, the interesting things that happen during the sessions, after the sessions, and it's a wondrous process. And when you ask me, I'm like, I said, how can I pick one funny experience, you know, and they've all been just wonderful, just interesting for me. I just like, wow, this is so much better than a research lab, you know, for me.
unless you happen to get acquainted with a guy by the name of Owen Schwartz, when I was, of course, I don't even know if he's still around, but I learned about this in when I was in England. I was in a lecture of another healer. And afterwards, I went up and to talk to him. He said, "Oh, that's where that energy was coming from. It was driving me crazy. I couldn't figure out where the heck I was." I just said, "I've never experienced energy like this in an audience ever in my life." And then, of course, we had a wonderful, wonderful sharing. And he is the one who told me about Dr. Schwartz. Mm-hmm. Turns out that he does almost like, you know, like the like with the electrodes that you fasten to the skull,
mm-hmm,
to measure the brain activity.
Right.
Well, he did that for people that were in the middle of doing what is erroneously called extra sensory perception kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I think it's our normal abilities that we have been civilized out of.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Uh-huh. So here he said, you know, one of the amazing things that he taught me, he said that that many, many times a person will be exposed to a massive electric shock, and it will,
mm-hmm,
wake up their extrasensory capabilities.
Yes.
And so,
mm-hmm,
he says, I said to him, in my arrogance, he said, well, that's not me, because I,
mm-hmm,
never had a psychic, an electric shock. He says,
mm-hmm,
I was telling my mother, she said, are you kidding? When you were 2 years old, you stuck a fork into the electrical outlet, and it knocked you across the room. You were unconscious for two hours. What are you talking about?
Oh,
you never had an electrical shock.
Oh, you had it so big you don't remember. You were 2 years old. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah,
yeah,
and
isn't that
again,
wild?
We talk about, yes, because it makes perfect sense. It kind of puts everything in a full circle for us, because we were talking about what triggers like a spiritual awakening. And sometimes it's something like a near-death experience, an accident, some trauma,
exactly,
to the head, electric shock. And it kind of,
mm-hmm,
wakes up those systems that aren't normally active. And like you said, they've been desensitized.
Yeah.
So sometimes that trauma wakes it up, you know, by accident.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the person has capabilities they didn't have before the incident, right? Or they had, but it was dormant.
Well,
all
they just
sudden,
have access to it. Yeah,
exactly. And now it's
yeah,
at the surface instead of like hidden inside, and now they can,
mm-hmm,
you know, they can do all kinds of wondrous things, and they can tap into the Akashic record or the field of everything,
oh,
whatever you want to call it, and they can.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I mean, I think that a lot of people can use an electric shock. How about that?
Definitely. But there's also the confusion. If you get people so confused they don't know where they are, sometimes you can get something through. And then what you brought up before is laughter. When people,
mm-hmm,
are laughing so hard at something, suddenly they say, well, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ways of getting to people and getting beyond the programming.
Yeah. Yes, the programming.
Speaking of programming, I am at the end of my time right now,
mm-hmm,
here, and I usually end these sessions with a little bit of guided imagery. Are you game?
Yes, I'm game for sure.
Okay. Close your eyes and tense your body. Tense,
mm-hmm,
tense. And collapse like a rag doll. And blow away, you did exactly. Blow away all the tension. Blow away all the nervousness, all of the anxiety. Dump it. All the fear. All of the regrets. All of the guilt. Dump. And then just pull in. And as you inhale, pull in. And just float on that air. Just float on it. Just like you're a leaf floating down a river. Not a care in the world. And float. Each breath you take, float deeper and deeper. We're floating past all of the consciousness limitations. Deeper and deeper. Oh, yeah, so that you reach that wonderful, wonderful place. Oh, my goodness, we're behind a waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
In that perfect, perfect place. Total safety. And around us, nothing but cleansing, nothing but pure beauty, nothing but light shining and glorious. Beautiful feelings and healings and everything wonderful.
Soak it up. Just be greedy. Just be so greedy. Oh, yeah. Just pull it in. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Ah, and now take another deep breath and kind of wiggle and kind of wiggle your fingers and toes and stretch a little bit. Open your eyes and oh,
wonderful.
Thank you so much, and we're going to say goodbye with love and
thank
light.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful session, Mary.
Well, it was all your fault.
I'll take it.
I can only work with what I've got.
Oh, it's wonderful. I want to thank also everybody that joined us. Thank you so much.
And we have got to do this again on that joyous note.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everyone who's been listening, and take this beauty and take this lovely, lovely being and everything she has to give and make it a wonderful day. Bye-bye.